Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. A girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms. Cause I won't.
We're back, it's 12 after. Girl, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being part of my day. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and it's free. I bet you've never heard anybody talk to you so much about giving something away as I do. It's the newsletter, folks. I think you'll like it. We got thousands and thousands, count them, thousands of subscribers, happy people all over the world who take our newsletter. And it's just something that I'm very passionate about. I'm very serious, like I am about this show. I'm very serious about getting you information, perspectives such as mine are, that on how to be more successful in your small business. And the things I write about are the things that I've learned, the things that other people have taught me, and things that other people have told me that I like to share with you. Kind of gaggle all those things together into some kind of a reasonably coherent thought and put it out there on the air or in the newsletter. And so I hope you'll subscribe to that. And you know what? It comes by email on Sunday. And if you don't like it, it's easier after you get it. It's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. And that's pretty easy. All you got to do is give us your email address. And we'd like to know who you are, if you want to give us your name. And if you want to tell us where you're from, we'd like to know. We also like to know, how you found out about us. That always helps. You know, when you do your, and I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk about marketing week after next. But whenever somebody finds you for the first time, it's always a good idea to ask them, how did you find me? So we like to know that too. But you can decide what you want to give us. But I promise you, we have a very strict privacy policy, which we had long before people were having privacy policies. And that is that whatever you give us, whatever information you give us, stays with us. Okay, let's do resolution number four. This is management resolution number four. I resolve to provide every member of my organization with an opportunity to be an entrepreneur by allowing them to take initiative and risks within the scope of their assignment. Now, I know some of you are starting to roll your eyes a little bit because you know what I'm going to say. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. I was saying this in the 20th century. I was predicting that it would be. And every day that goes by, every hour that goes by, and I watch this very close, folks. I keep up with these things. Every time I think about it, I'm more convinced that the 21st century is a century of the entrepreneur. In the 20th century, that was a century of the major corporation. Not that major corporations are going to go away, but that was their century. And it was the advent, really, of the major corporation. Yeah, there were some in the 19th century, but basically, the major corporations came of age. The whole culture of the whole idea of thousands and thousands of people working for one company really came of age in the 20th century. And the way people capitalized their business, the way they thought of growing their business, the way they thought of scaling their business, and being more and more successful, was based on the major corporation model, the more buildings, more people, more infrastructure, more capital, et cetera, et cetera. It was based on that. Well, okay, there's still going to be a lot of that in the 21st century, but there's also going to be a lot of things done differently, and that is that small business owners, because of technology, because of the way the evolution of the marketplace, we have the ability to scale our businesses and to be more successful, and to get bigger, without getting bigger the way Henry Ford had to do it, for example. And so, and one of the ways that we're going to do that is by not thinking of an entrepreneur as just someone who has ownership in the business, who literally has equity in the business. But we'll think of it as an entrepreneur is someone who takes initiative, who takes risks, and who is highly motivated in what they're doing. I believe that, and I've said this many times before, this is one of the speeches that I do from time to time, is that that there is such a thing as an entrepreneurial employee. Have you ever heard that term? Well, if you've listened to my show for very long, you have. An entrepreneurial employee is someone who is empowered with the responsibility and the authority to take risks, to take initiative within their assignment. They can't go wandering off doing things that they're not supposed to be doing in somebody else's job, but in their assignment, within the scope of their job description, it's assumed that they have the knowledge, it's assumed that they have the skill, it's understood that they have the training and the tools, and then you say, okay, take the risks, take the initiative inside of your assignment, and have fun. If you've hired the right people, as I said earlier, if you've trained them, you've got the right people, and you know that they're properly motivated, and they've got the best interest of the team of the company at heart, then guess what? Yes, they're going to make mistakes, but you know what? Because they're taking risks, because they're taking initiative, that means they're making lots of decisions. And one thing that I will tell you, a mentor of mine told me this a long time ago, we should all make lots of decisions. And if you know what you're doing, most of them will be right. Some of them won't be, though. There will be mistakes made. And remember, a mistake, like as Thomas Edison, I think, who said about failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work. So in that, with that kind of a philosophy about failure, about mistakes, there's value in mistakes. There can be real value in mistakes. So don't fear those failures. Don't fear those mistakes. And when someone takes initiative, when someone takes a risk and they're doing it for the right reasons, and they fail, they make a mistake. Remember what I said last week. You don't say you're fired. You don't fuss at them. You don't, you know, yell at them or whatever. You simply say, okay, you made a mistake. You've told me what happened. Now, here's the most important question, folks. And if you remember last week, I told you this is the redemption question. This is the most powerful, maybe the most powerful sentence you can have in managing human beings. And here's the question. Here's the question. What did we learn? What did we learn? Remember what Tom Felton said, when you'll be your best is when you're willing to risk what you know for what you might learn. Help your employees to become entrepreneurs. That'll be when the day that you start that, that'll be the day your company takes a quantum leap, I promise. 20 after, I'll be right back. Resolution 5 right after these messages. Stay with me.
Your troubles make you cry. Don't waste a moment wondering why.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I want to, before we get into Resolution 5, I want to come back to what I was talking about a minute ago for just one more minute on this entrepreneurial employee thing. Folks, this may be the most important thing that you ever hear me say. Of the millions of really important things that I've said to you over the last 7.5 years, this may be the most important one. Remember this, in study after study after study that I have seen over the last 30 years, when they ask people, why did you leave your company? Or why would you leave the employment that you have or that you did have? I've never one time seen a poll that showed that the money wasn't good enough on the top of the list. The compensation was always like fifth or sixth down the list of 10 things. And the number one thing perennially, the number one thing year after year, decade after decade, that the reason why people leave a business, and I'm talking about good people that you don't want to leave, is because they felt underappreciated. They did not feel respected. They didn't feel like they were being used to the fullest extent. And that can be fixed. That's free. That fix is free. Doesn't cost you a penny. All it costs you is a little bit of maintenance, a little bit of attention to detail, a little bit of attention to these human beings. People want to be successful in their assignments. You know, maybe they want to be a business owner of their own like you are, but maybe they don't. You know, thank God we have people who want to be employees. And you have to treat them in the 21st century. You know, the old days of being able to use people as just worker bees, those days are gone. You got to treat people like human beings. You got to treat them like partners, and give them respect, give them something that motivates them, and appreciate the good work that they do, but let them flourish. Let them be successful in their assignments. And when you can do that, when you can create and maintain entrepreneurial employees, you'll have people lined up out your door trying to get in. Okay, resolution number 5. I resolved to join a peer group of other owners, either in other industries, within my marketplace, or in my industry, outside of my marketplace. Now, one of the worst things that small business owners tend to do, and this is the most dangerous thing that I see, is they become cave dwellers. They stay inside their business. They're almost, and look, I know what it's like when you're afraid to leave. Things are so dicey that you're afraid to leave. You're afraid that if you're not there, that when the phone rings, you won't be able to handle it. Well, and I understand that, and I'm not going to argue with you about that, but you do need to get out of your building. You do need to go out and talk to other people. You need to go out and meet with other people who are your peers, other business owners. And here are some examples of some things I'd like for you to look for. They're called mastermind groups. That's one group. It's called a mastermind group. And this is where you get together with, it's just a loose confederation of other business owners. You could start your own. You could look around you and say, okay, let me identify five other people who I think are somewhere, you know, they're sort of like my peer in terms of how, where they are in the development of their business. Maybe someone's a little bit ahead of you. Maybe somebody's a little bit behind you, but try to find people you think are your peers that probably want to find people who are not your competitors, and say, what do you guys think about having a lunch once a month? And we'll rotate around the different offices, and whoever's office is doing it brings the sandwiches or whatever, or we go to a restaurant or whatever. But you get together and you talk about what you learn. You don't necessarily talk about your own businesses, because that gets into confidentiality, and you may not want to do that, but you do talk about what you learned about marketing, about a new book that you read, about something you heard somebody say once, about something you learned about employees, managing employees, about how the economy is going in your area, or whatever it might be. But you get together with other people and you share energy, you share ideas. It's very important, folks. Get out of the cave. Here's another example. Your local chamber of commerce. Since the day I started doing this show, I encourage you to join and participate in your local chamber of commerce. It is a very, very important thing for you to do. It's good for you. It's good for the community. It's good for your marketplace, for you to contribute your money to the chamber of commerce, which typically is very little, typically $100 and a quarter to $2 and a quarter, depending on where you live, how many employees you have. And it's one of the best investments you'll ever make. But don't just join and say, okay, what have you guys done for me lately? Join and attend their mixers. Attend their committee. You know, join a committee. Find something you're interested in, the arts developing local industry or whatever it might be. Find a committee. They've got one that will interest you, and join that committee and participate. Folks, this kind of stretching, this kind of getting out into the marketplace is very, very healthy for you. You know that it's healthy for you as an individual when you do this socially. It's also healthy for you as a business owner. And don't forget your own industry's trade groups. Virtually every industry has a trade group, probably a statewide and a national trade group. Those are also good ones to join. Think about these things, folks. It'll help you become a better small business owner, a lot more successful, and a lot happier. 29 After. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Mr. Steve Del Bianco. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.